Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Unwinding. I missed you last week. I'm so sorry there was no new episode. It's been a rough month, okay? It's been a rough month and I'm going through a little something, and that little something was too big last week, too big to handle, and I could not, even though I already had this episode ready to go. Sometimes there are things way bigger than us, and that's exactly what happened last week. I'm feeling a lot better this week. We will catch up at a later date. I just wanted to properly introduce this episode and say hi. I'm actually in Costa Rica right now, but I'm going back to Miami tomorrow. So you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, April 16th, I'll be going back tomorrow. So it's been a rough few weeks. It's been a rough month, honestly. Okay. But that's life. And we keep it rolling, right? So I'm so sorry about last week. I hate that we didn't have an episode. But we're back, and we're back with an episode I recorded a little bit ago with one of my best friends, Bao, who's been on the podcast before a few years ago, actually. I need to find where that episode is. Regardless, I hope you enjoy this episode. The theme of it, I would say, is definitely friendship, navigating adult friendships, jealousy, competition, losing friends, making friends, keeping friends, all of that. So I hope you needed something in here. I hope something hits. Let me know what it was, and I will see you next week. I would love if we could just get into friendships as we get into our like later 20s, as we become adults, as people start to really, really have these enriched, full lives where sometimes your friendships are no longer the priority the way they were maybe in college or when you had way more free time, or maybe when you weren't in a relationship, etc. And I would love to talk about this with you because A, you're an incredible friend, and I think you really know how to be a friend. I know you're gonna be humble and not say anything, but I think you really know how to take care of the people in your life. And it shows, because not that quantity is like means anything, but you have a lot of people in your life that love you, and that is for a reason. What would you say to somebody, first of all, if they're like struggling to maintain friendships over time? But also, I think something that people struggle with a lot is feeling the need to hold on to certain friends because they've been friends with them for a long time, but they no longer fit their current self. Like they're no longer compatible, but they feel bad letting them go because they've been friends for so long. How do you navigate that?
Okay.
That was a lot, sorry.
Yeah, let's start with number one, because okay. I need an Adderall or something. It's like a notebook, I don't know, something, you
know? I'm sorry, just whatever hit, just whatever okay. is on your heart.
Okay, so number one was how to maintain friendships for a long time. I think that's been a hard one for me. I recently moved to Miami, for those of you who don't know that. I went to college in Washington, D.C., where I met Lisa.
And Lisa forced her to be her friend.
Exactly.
If you heard our other episode, then you know the story.
Yeah, I moved to New York. I was there for a while. And then I went back home, which is Costa Rica. And then the plan was always to move here. But surprise, surprise, COVID. Huh? You didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming either. So then that was postponed. And it feels like such a weird... Like when I think about COVID... Like, it feels like yesterday, and at the same time, it feels like so long ago. Totally. And it's like a blur.
It's very weird.
So I feel like it's weird because we were in the middle of a pandemic for, I would say, 3 years, maybe?
2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah, which were years where I had just graduated from college, and I was trying to figure out life, but I was stuck at home with my parents, not seeing anybody, not talking to anybody, and then I was, like, thrown into Miami, and I was like, good luck. It's been hard. Like, I was talking about this with my husband the other day. I used to have a very maybe big group of friends in college, and I don't feel like I have been able to maintain many of those relationships. Not because I don't like them, not at all. Like, I love them. When I think about those people who were close to me back then, lots of love and appreciation, but we've moved on, and we all went back to our countries, and as you mentioned before, we have very different lives. So what I've been trying to focus on is like trying to maintain relationships that are both ways. Does that make sense?
Reciprocal.
Like two-sided
yeah.
friendships, because I realized that many of my friendships were just one-sided, and it was exhausting to maintain those relationships. And it also kind of pissed me off because I was like, wow, I'm doing all this, and that person can't even answer a simple message.
Yeah.
So I was
but that's
like,
not a friend.
Yeah, but then again, we, as you always say, we all go through certain seasons.
Right. Yes, you're right. And it's very situational.
Yeah, so I try to be empathetic with that person. I'm like, well, maybe they're not answering because they're going through this and that.
I think it's like patterns, right? It's mm-hmm. looking at the patterns. If that's always what it is, then after a certain point, you're going to get tired of always being the one.
See, behind.
Putting in the effort. Also, let's also explain how these are like long distance friendships.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that exactly. adds an entire layer of complexity in and of itself. Like that shit is so hard.
It is. I also feel like I have a lot of friends who are very like, I don't know if empathetic is the word. No, maybe it's not. But when I'm here, I'm really focused on being here and like mm-hmm. spending time with you or my other friends who live here. But when I go back home, it's like as I never left. Like I can text my friends from Costa Rica and they're like, oh my God, let's hang out, blah, blah, blah. Let's go get some coffee. But it is hard because when you go get that coffee and you sit down and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. So I was chilling with John and you're like, who is John? And they're like, oh, I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
He's like my new like situation.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what? And they're like, yeah, yeah. Oh my God, I have to leave because I have to take care of Daisy. Who is Daisy? My new dog. And you're like, what's going on?
Keeping up and keeping like your friends up to date, especially when it's long distance friendships, it's hard and it's a lot of work. And I think that's where we all forget, I think sometimes, that like nobody said relationships were easy.
No.
Nobody said relationships were easy. I don't know if, you know, I think when we're like in high school and in college and in these environments where it is so much easier, we sort of get accustomed to that. Mm-hmm. And then we don't, like nobody kind of tells us like, hey, just so you know, when you leave these environments and you potentially move and your friends move around and you're all sprinkled around the world and you all start living different lives, that's going to be fucking hard. And you're going to have to put in work and put in effort. And I think a lot of us don't realize that until we're in it. And we're like, wait, what the fuck? Why is this so hard? Like, why do I have to plan when we're going to FaceTime? Like, I deadass have, like, Moongi, one of my best friends from college. We will plan our FaceTime dates. She'll send me a GCal.
Okay, this makes me feel less crazy. Okay.
But that's what it's...
I'm glad you mentioned it.
But listen, like, my point here is every friendship is different. Every friendship dynamic is different. It's so situational, but you make it work. I think like when you both want
when
it,
you
make
want,
it, when you yeah. make it work, like that's what we do. And that's how we keep up. And her and I, I'll just use her as an example. She's also been on the podcast before. Love her so much. We don't text every day. Maybe we'll go, maybe not weeks, but like maybe there'll be a week where we don't text, but then either one of us will be like, oh shit, we haven't spoken in a week. Quick text like, hey, everything good? Love you. Thinking about you. Let's do a FaceTime. Then we put it in the calendar. Then we FaceTime. We catch up for like an hour. Then we keep going, right? But again, I think it's understanding what that certain, like what your friendship needs to still feel good and still have depth. I think you would agree with me. Like there's some friendships that if you don't text every day, it's weird. Mm-hmm. There's some friendships where if you did text every day, that would be weird.
Yeah.
Like there's some friendships that you can go a certain amount of time without doing X, Y, and Z. The bottom line is understanding, I think, what your friendship needs, what the other person needs to feel loved, and also realizing like it's hard. It is hard. It takes work, but like if you want that, if you want to sustain that friendship, you have to put in the work.
It's very hard. I was actually, I don't know if I had, like, I don't know if a meltdown would be the word, but...
An epiphany, maybe?
No, it was definitely more towards...
You're like, no, it was a meltdown.
But I was crying the other day in my car. I love crying in my car. It's like a thing.
Therapy.
Yeah. in fact, the other day, well, not the other day, this was, like, a while ago, but I was having a rough day, and I was just, like, crying, screaming in the car, and then, like, a week later, I saw this, Not friend, because I hate
acquaintance.
It's an acquaintance. I just, random thought for a second. We have to stop calling everybody a friend. They are not your friend. He's your coworker. He's your employee. He's your neighbor. I don't know. But why do we call everybody my friend?
Friendship tiers are so real and so important. And I think, I don't know why they have a negative connotation, because... Mm-hmm. I think we love to put things in boxes and we love to label things, but sometimes it can be useful. I'm a Capricorn. I'm insane. I love to label things. I love to put things in boxes. I love to know what goes where. And I like to know where people stand in my life. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I think something that people don't realize is not everybody's going to be your bestest friend. And if you don't care about the label, then whatever. Just instead of bestest friend, it could just be the closest person in your life. The person you feel the safest with, a friend that you tell everything to, whatever that means to you, right? Mm-hmm. Not everybody has to be your best friend. Not everybody has to be your good friend. Not everybody has to be a friend that you talk to every day. You're allowed to have people in your life that you see on a random basis. Maybe they're like your lunch friend that
once... But that's the problem. What do you call them? You're not going to be like,
well, you don't have to call them anything. Your lunch friend. Well, I guess if it's somebody that you see like monthly, I would say that's a friend, right? Like if you like go out to lunch with them once a month, that's a friend.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that an acquaintance. For me, no. An acquaintance is like somebody that I know, but we don't have a relationship at all. A friend is like somebody that I know, hey, how are you? I know at least something about their life, but we don't like keep in touch. But we're friendly with each other. You know, like we're friends. Like, do you disagree?
I disagree.
Okay, tell me why.
Do
you think friend is more, like friend to you means more than what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess I have a small problem.
Wait, sorry. Tell me your friendship tiers. Like, how does it go for you?
See, that's the thing.
Okay.
I don't have friends. You're either like... Let me explain. That sounded really wrong. Okay. You're either my best friend.
Or nothing.
Or you're my acquaintance.
That's not true.
Kind of. So that's the problem. Like, the other day I was telling the story to my mother-in-law.
I think that's what you think, but people outside probably think they're closer to you than they are.
Maybe, but here's the thing. Like, if you're my best friend, like, if you fall into my best friend category,
yeah,
I will do anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Literally, yes, like, yes, yes, anything.
Yes, you will.
But then that's the problem. So, like, the other day, my mother-in-law was telling her this story, and she's like, stop. And I'm like, what? And she's like, who is this lady? And I'm like, one of my best friends. And she's like, no, I've met all your best friends. This girl is not your best friend. And I'm like, yes, she is. And she's like, no, you can't have 20 best friends. And I'm like, why not? Why can't I?
You do have a lot of best friends. Maybe for you, good and best friend falls into the same category.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. You know? Or it's like, this is so interesting.
It is.
We've never talked about this. How many best friends would you say you have? It's so funny because sometimes Bob will post a story like, having lunch with my best friend. And I'll respond and be like, no, I wasn't there. Like, but it's like one of the other 50.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you just look at it differently.
Yeah. But no, going back to the story.
Okay, yeah.
This person that I saw was definitely not my friend. And he was like, I was going to say hi to you the other day because I saw you at this like stop sign. But you seemed like you were having a rough day, so I decided not to say hi.
You have RBF.
And I was like, oh, was I like crying and screaming in the car? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I have those days all the time.
Was that a friend, an acquaintance, or none of the above?
I don't know. I went to school with him like a thousand years ago.
That's a good example. So what would he be?
An acquaintance.
You're a savage.
Why? We're not friends. I don't know. Like, I don't even know where he went to college.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what he does for a living. I don't know where he lives.
I get.
Like, yeah, we went to school together when I was like in...
I want to hear what... I want you guys to tell me what, like, what your tiers are. If you're as savage as Pao.
I'm very savage, sorry.
Or...
I'm very honest.
No, I don't think it's savage. You know what? I think bottom line here is, I think I have this conversation a lot with my friends. Where sometimes they'll meet a friend and they're like, oh my God, I met this girl. I'm really excited. Like I met a new friend, you know, because making friends is difficult.
Impossible.
And they'll be like, yeah, whatever. And then after they go out a few times with this friend, they'll be like, you know what? Like I saw certain things that I don't really love. Like I don't know that we're going to be super, super close.
But that's the thing. Now you look like an idiot for calling her your friend.
No, because then they're like, I like her. We have a good time together, but I don't think that we're going to be like bestest friends. And that's where I say to them, that's fine though. They don't have to be your bestest friend. They can be your friend that from time to time you guys get dinner or you guys go to a workout class or you do this or that. Like not every friend is meant for everything. And also,
bueno, that is true.
I don't know about you, but like all of my closest friends, they all like to do different things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have certain things that I know who to go to for.
But you have party friends. You have advice friends.
Right.
You have study friends.
Yeah. I think it's so important to like know who enjoys doing what, and also understanding like it's okay if not everybody fits. You know, not everybody's going to be the closest friend to you. That's mm-hmm. okay. Okay, so what would you say about... I literally had this conversation yesterday in my DMs with somebody who asked me, like, we've been friends for so long. I feel bad kind of not including her in something. But at the same time, we don't really have the same relationship that we had. You know, like when you move through the yeah. different stages and feeling like you're no longer just on the same page as somebody, but you have so much love and care for them. But, you know, it's like, how do you navigate that?
That's been, like, a very hard thing for me to deal with as an adult, I guess. Because you grew up with this, like, group of friends, if you want to call it that, or, like...
Acquaintances.
I don't know what to call it. But you grew up with these people, and you were always on the same page. Like, you went to school together, you did the same extracurriculars, you went to the same parties, and you moved on to college. Summer, all of you guys had a summer internship. Yakety, yakety, yakety. But then graduation comes up, and then all of a sudden, as you mentioned before, everybody like moves to a different country, a different state. Everybody goes into, I don't know, you have a doctor, then yeah. an engineer, whatever. And it's such a weird age gap because all of a sudden some of your friends are single and getting wasted on a Friday night while others are having babies and changing diapers at 1 a.m. And there's no right or wrong. Like yeah. everybody has the right to follow their own path and things that make them happy. But it's been weird.
It's
like,
weird.
I'm still getting used to it. I don't know. It's been really hard. So what was the question? I forgot. Sorry.
The question was, I love what you're saying because that's also so real, especially I think when you're in your late 20s, when all these things start to happen, when people start to get married, get engaged, have kids, get break up, get divorced, move cities, change jobs. Like, it's crazy. It really is. So wait, before I answer my question, let's talk about that for a second, because I think that also can be challenging. When I think when all of your friends are in different, mm-hmm. like if you're the only one who's in a different place than all of your friends, I can imagine that to be very difficult. And B, I think it's also hard, especially for women and especially in terms of like comparison. Cause you're like, fuck, like, you know, I don't know, example, maybe all of your friends are in relationships and you're not, and you really want a relationship. Like that's hard probably, you know?
It's very hard, and if you get like into the nitty gritty, like I was having a conversation with myself the other day, inside my car, obviously, because my car is like my safe space.
I love it.
And I was like, am I allowed to curse here?
Have you heard me
and talk? I was like, fuck, it's not only that this person is married or this person got a new job or moved or whatever, but it's also like the small things that this person now works for, I don't know, I'm making a random story over here, but maybe this person is working for Amazon and he's making so much money and he now lives in Dubai. I don't know. Yeah. So how do I navigate with that? I got into a fight with my shrink the other day. I was just word vomiting during our session, and I was just saying that it's been really hard for me to accept that I'm now living in Miami. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to see all my friends in Costa Rica like doing living this their or life. That because I feel like I feel left out.
You feel like you're missing out.
I feel like I'm missing out, but then I'm here, but then I'm trying to make new friends, and it's so hard because making friends as an adult is super hard. And I'm a full-time content creator, so I work from my house. Like, where am I supposed to meet new people? But then at the same time, my friends who do live here, they all have like different lives, and like, some of them have babies, some of them are single and are going out. Like,
that's me.
Yeah, there's, and everybody is on their...
So why did you get in a fight? What was their reaction to that?
Oh, because I was saying that it's very hard for me to accept that we're all moving towards...
It's a scary thing. I think it's, life is moving so fast.
It is. So that's what I was saying. I was like, I'm just... afraid.
It's overwhelming,
and I'm afraid that I'm gonna lose my friends. I'm afraid that I don't know if I'm going the right way. We're all going on these like very different paths. And her answer was like, yeah, you need to get friends on your same path. And I was like, yes and no, because my path is gonna change
all the time
probably in the next 6 months, yeah. and then in a year, and then 2 years later. So am I going to have to get new friends every single time that my life takes a turn? And I was like, no. And I've been friends with these people for the last 20 years, and I really love them. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to respect that they're doing their own thing right now.
Yeah.
And maybe we're not going to see each other as much as we used to, but I still love and appreciate this person. And she was like, no, you need to get new friends.
I understand what she's saying, because I think it's always good and important, if possible, though it's much easier said than done. It's not that when people are like, just get a friend that's on your same page. Bro, that shit is so fucking hard. Do you know how hard it is to, I don't know, personally, I'll speak for myself, to actually like somebody enough to be like, okay, when I do have free time, which is almost never, for me, my time is so special to me. It's so sacred to me. And I spend my time with people that I love. And I don't want to spend my time, like, why would I spend my time with somebody if I don't even, if like, it's not worth it, you know, if I could spend it with people that are worth it. So my point here is, like, my time is valuable. All of our time is very valuable. The time invested in is a commitment.
It is.
So when people are just like, oh, just, you know, find a friend, that's hard. Like, that is a very hard thing. It's not an easy task by any means. I do understand what she's saying. Like, it is important to have friends that are on some similar boat, because obviously the more commonalities you have with somebody, the more identified you feel. Therefore, you feel comfortable, you feel safe, you feel closer. It's normal, right? But that's not always possible, and that's not always realistic. The reality is, all of our friends are going to be moving at different paces and doing different things. And I think it's more so, yes, if you can find friends that are on your same wavelength, amazing. Like, if you're a new mom, finding other mom friends, or if you're the only single one, finding other new single friends that you can go out with. Yes, that's ideal. That's great. But it's not always a reality, and it's not always as simple as just go and make new friends. So I think it's about adjusting, adapting, learning what works in this new dynamic that we might both be in. Like, you adjust and you adapt if it is something that is worth it to you and, like, that you care about. But also, I think a big part of it, and I think what I took from what you were saying, is I think sometimes we have to, like, sit with the discomfort that, yes, everybody's lives are moving and moving on and moving fast and moving in totally different directions potentially than yours. And that is scary. It's scary, it's uncomfortable, it leaves a lot of room for comparison. Even if maybe you're happy in your life, like, I think as humans, it's hard not to be like, oh my God, but, you know, they're doing this, or should I be doing this, or should I be doing, they look like they were, you know, it's very, very difficult, and it's scary. Like, growing up is scary, and we don't talk about that shit enough. Like, nobody told me how scary this shit was gonna be.
But what's the constant?
Change.
Exactly. And the problem is, going back to the question that you...
Did what I say made sense? I feel like I just word vomited.
No, it did. And going back to what you mentioned early on, so how do you maintain relationships? That was what you asked me at the beginning. It's hard, because change is a constant. And when you're willing to adapt, but the other person is not willing to adapt...
But that, you know what? Then I have to let it go. Yeah, but to me, that's easier... That's easier, though it's painful. That is easier than...
Letting go is easier? Than what?
I don't know if than anything. I'm not actually trying to compare it to anything. But let me rephrase. To me, that's easy, period. New sentence. Because it's hard and it's painful, but if I keep trying to make something work and to put in love and time into a friendship, and the pattern... over time is that I am the only one doing that. After a while, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm no longer going to keep, like, spending my time trying to make this person be my friend. I'm going to have a conversation if, you know, if they're important to me. I think, like, at my age, it would be the right thing to do to have a conversation, to communicate my feelings. But then I would be like, okay, like, what am I going to keep doing? Talking to the wall? Like, I'm not going to keep... Mm-hmm. Why would I keep trying to make somebody be my friend? I don't want to make anybody be around me if they don't want
to
be around me.
Why? You forced me to be your friend.
That's different. That's different.
No, yeah. That's so funny. I totally get what you're saying.
But at that point, you know, okay, I did everything. And I'm tired of being the only person. So that's it. Like, there's only so much you can do.
100%. But it doesn't make it easier.
No, it doesn't.
It still hurts like shit.
It's horrible. I think friendship breakups are fucking harder than... breaking up with a man.
No, I agree.
Like, that shit, because you know why? That shit hurts over time. Like, you think about it. Well, not that, I don't know. I've never had my heart, actually, I have had my heart broken, but.
No, I'm with you.
Not, like, really badly, so I don't.
I 100% agree with that.
I still, like, I have friends that I still think about, in particular, that I think about them all the time, and my heart literally aches, because I'm like, you know, I loved these people so much, and for a list of reasons, we are no longer in each other's lives, but that doesn't mean that I don't still care about them, and I don't still wish them well, and I don't still love them. But I think that's part of life, and I think that's something that we have to learn to do. Humans don't like to be uncomfortable. Like, we really don't like to be uncomfortable. Whenever we're uncomfortable, we're like, holy fucking shit, I don't know how to do this. And we have every right to be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, of course, we don't want to feel uncomfortable, but I think something I've had to learn is, like, sometimes you have to sit with your discomfort. Like, sometimes when I feel those aches, when I'm like, fuck, I miss this person, you know, I hope they're doing well. It makes me sad that we're no longer in each other's lives. Like, at one point I thought they were going to be a bridesmaid. And now when I think about it now, I'm like, they're not going to be a bridesmaid, you know? And that's a hard pill to swallow.
It is.
But I have to sit with that and sit with those feelings of, like,
or when you thought you were going to be a bridesmaid at their wedding and then you don't even get invited. And you're like, wait, what?
Has that happened to
no,
you?
No, but I'm giving an example.
That would be horrible. But that's a prime example. I guess it's so situational. It's so hard to... See, these things are so hard to be like this or that because there's so much nuance that happens in these situations. But if I was just looking at that from the outside, that's a prime example of being in a friendship where you think you're so much closer than you actually are, and that hurts that my soul
to me all the time.
Really? Like, on what end? Like, people, I think people think, like, that
I am the loser who thinks we're closer than what we really are.
You think they're your best friend and they're like, no?
I guess not best friends, but something that I was just having this conversation this morning with my husband. I was gonna say with my boyfriend. With my husband.
Don't downgrade him like that. That's so rude. I'm sorry. Put a little respect on his name.
As I mentioned early on, like, if you're my best friend, I will literally do anything for you.
She will.
And it's been very hurtful to realize that most people are not willing to do the same for you. I had, like, the situation that happened to me, like, a month ago, and we were talking about it, and my husband was like, you have to let it go, and you have to learn to just give because giving makes you happy, mm-hmm. not because you expect something in return. And I'm like, yeah, but I am not such a good human being as you are, and I do expect something in return. Like, not an actual gift.
No, I think you still give and give and give.
Yeah, I know, but it comes to a
But it hurts you more than it hurts you more than you show, I think.
Yeah, it comes a time when I'm like, it doesn't bother me that you don't get me, like, a birthday present. Like, it's not about the physical things. It's the small things. It's the fact that it was my birthday and you didn't text me. You didn't text me on my birthday, you didn't text me the day after, the week after, the month after. Like, we're humans. Of course, sometimes we forget.
I forgot your birthday 1 year.
I forgot about that. But
I will never forget
now that
it.
You mentioned it.
I will never forget
We're humans. Like, we can forget, but I don't care if it's been a month.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone and be like, hey, bitch, I'm sorry. I forgot your birthday.
Is that what happened? Somebody forgot your birthday?
No, I'm giving, like, an example. But it's, like, the small things, like...
Yeah. I think what you're saying is so real because it's this concept of you give without expectation.
And it sucks. I'm sorry.
It just sucks. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah. Sucks.
And I think when I see my mom the way she is, that's when I'm... If I ever have that feeling where I'm like, damn, fuck, like... I feel like again, it's what you're saying. It's not about a physical gift. It's like I'm giving, but it's like I'm giving love. I'm giving constant, you know.
But your mom is just superior.
No, I know. I can't even. I know. You're like, I love you, but like.
Normal human beings and then Maria.
I know. You're like, bitch, you are not.
We can't even compare. I know. We can't compare ourselves to Maria.
But what I'm saying is, like, she will do anything for anybody. And if they don't give her even a crumb back,
she doesn't care.
She won't even be like, oh wow, she won't even think about it. She won't acknowledge it. She won't act different. Nothing. I try to be that way, but, like, of course it hurts.
It hurts so much.
So it's like that blurry line of like, I don't want to stop being who I am with certain people. Because like, I'm not going to lie, there's people in my life wish would show up in a little bit of a different way. But again, people can't read our minds. And there are certain things that I feel like it's not fair for me to even think that way, because I've never communicated like, hey, you know, it would really mean a lot to me if you, I don't know, did X, Y, and Z. But
okay, I have a real question.
Okay.
Do you think that people are genuinely good or
bad?
Not evil, not so good.
This is such a hard question for me because I've become so hardened because of what I've gone through in my life that I was just having this conversation with our lawyer in Costa Rica, and he was like so shook because he's like our family lawyer and he was my dad's lawyer and whatever. This is side note, but my point here is we've never had a conversation. Like, I always saw him, but I was little. I was like 12, 13, 14. Like, I would just see my dad having meetings with him, but we never had a conversation, okay? Fast forward to now, I'm 31 years old, and we're, like, now having meetings. Now I'm in all these meetings, and I'll, you know, I'm whatever. That's another story. And I was just, when I was just home, we literally was the first time I think we had a conversation, like, actual conversation. But he was so surprised because we were talking about people and if they are inherently good or bad, and how my mom is so trusting of everybody. And I was telling him, like, my mom and I could not be more opposite in that realm. Like, my mom thinks everybody is good and she thinks everybody has good intentions. My mom will give anybody the benefit of the doubt. And I don't know when I became this person, but I think the complete opposite way. And I think, like, you have to prove me wrong. Like, I don't trust you, but if you can prove me wrong, then I'll trust you. But I don't like that. I don't like that I'm that way. Like, I didn't used to be that way. And now I don't believe anybody.
I used to be like Maria, and then I got fucked over. And now I'm like you.
Well, for me, it wasn't even like, oh, you know, these girls did this or this guy did. Like, yeah, I've been through shit with all that. But
it's just part of growing up and realizing, like, looking around and realizing, wow. I feel like you and I used to be like Maria when we were in college.
I was like that in high school.
And a little bit in college. We'll talk about this later because I'm going to have to remind you of a couple of things to get my whiteboard out and be like, remember this, bitch?
I think I just didn't have like a backbone, really.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not good to be on either.
I'm kind to everybody. I'm nice to everybody. It's not like I'm like testing people. That's not how I am.
You can be very nice. You can be very kind.
The most guarded person I think in the world, but I don't think that's obvious because of my personality, you know?
Yeah, you had to grow up so quickly.
Yeah. I think that's it.
I was talking about you the other day, actually, with one of my friends. I was trying to describe you.
All good things.
And yeah.
How do you describe me? I want to know.
I'm literally like about to cry.
Stop.
But yeah, you had a rough fucking, not childhood, but like teenage years. And I think it's been very inspiring to see you like grow up and just figure life. And I feel like I met you in college. You were still processing everything with your dad and the whole family situation. And I was recently being diagnosed with this like very crappy autoimmune disease, feeling very lonely.
We literally met at like one of the lowest points of both of our lives.
Both of our lives. My cousin had just died in a car accident. My family was like super depressed. I was depressed. I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know. I feel like we were both in such a low moment.
Yeah.
And there was something in you that really inspired me and got me going. And like, you were one of the few friends I could talk about my disease and just like sit in the car and cry again. The car, my safe space. I still remember your blue car.
My black car.
I think it was a, like navy blue.
Yeah, it was like a black chrome-ish. You're right. It looked blue in the sunlight. But
I can, like, if I close my eyes, I can see myself sitting in that car and just
with my sitting in my apartment, remember?
With my double stuffed Oreos. I used to eat lots of Oreos. And you had to grow up really quickly because life threw you some rough shit.
Yeah.
And that's why you're cautious right now. Yeah. I don't think it's something bad. It's something that
I know. Just
had to embrace.
Yeah.
Which I get a lot. A lot of my friends and even my husband complains all the time. He's always like, "You're so independent. Me, 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 me." And I'm like, I had to.
Yeah, same.
I had no choice. Yeah. I didn't have all these things that other people had. And I'm like, I'm not like crying about it, but it just, I had to become independent because of the situations that life.
Right. Right. Like we are the way we are for a reason.
Yeah.
Like there's a reason behind it. You know what I want to touch on before we wrap up? I want to hear what you have to say about this. Yes or no? Okay. There's a yes or no question. Oh God. And then we'll elaborate.
Well, no, that works. I'm a black or white.
Yes. Woman. Yes or no?
I never do gray.
Clearly, acquaintance or best friend. Exactly. We get it.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you have friends in your life right now? Like, again, I guess you would consider them best friends.
Or acquaintances.
Close people in your life, okay, who, if you got really, really, really exciting news, let's say in your career, something incredible happens, do you have people in your life that are close to you that you wouldn't share that with because you feel like deep down, you know they love you, you know they care about you, but you're not 100% sure that they would be in their soul super happy for you? So the answer to the question was yes.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way because of past experiences, or are you assuming that they wouldn't? Do you know what I mean? Or is it like a feeling? Or have they shown you that in the past?
Past experiences, not with me, but with other people.
You've seen
so,
it.
So like I've seen like, I don't know, we're having lunch. We're four girls. And one of these girls is like, "I got this job." And we're all like, "Oh my God, amazing." And then we leave and somebody's like, "I don't think that job is the right fit for her," or blah, 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 or whatever. So I just learned not to say much.
But doesn't that make, like, I hate that. And I hate it, and here's why. Because I don't necessarily blame women. Again, I'm speaking, like, primarily about women right now. I don't necessarily blame women for having these feelings. First of all, I think jealousy, or whatever word you want to use to describe that, because ultimately, that's what it boils down to, right?
But don't you feel like society makes you, or like builds up this like inner competition between women?
That's what I'm saying. Like it frustrates me because I don't blame them. That's what I'm saying. Like I don't blame women for sometimes having these feelings, because I'm like, it's not our fault that since we are fucking born, we're literally told, first of all, you better hurry up and get that job, get that man, get that house, because there's only a few of them to go around, which is not true, right? So it creates this lack mindset for us that it's like, oh my God, if she gets a boyfriend, then I'm not going to get a boyfriend because there's not enough men. Bullshit. Like, it's not true, but that's what we're grown up with, right? We feel like if something good happens for you, then it's not going to happen for me. There's not enough happiness to go around. And number three, I feel like we're told like we're on this timeline, right? Biologically and just technically, we're on this timeline of, or metaphorically, sorry, not technically, of like, you only have so much time before you start to expire. That's what, literally. That's literally how we feel.
And I feel like you expire during menopause. Literally, it's like, why does nature give you menopause?
I don't.
Stop reproducing, bitch. It's time for the young ones.
So rude.
It is rude, but it's true.
It's a conflicting feeling that I have, because I'm like, I don't blame you for, you know, feeling whatever you feel, or anybody having these feelings, right? Because I think it's a very innate thing that is not really our fault to a certain degree. But then I think there's another line. There's another level of that where it's like, I think you can have all those things, like all of those things can be true. You can feel like, oh shit, I'm late, I'm running behind, they got this, maybe I'm not gonna get it. Those are human feelings. You can feel that. But there's this other level where you feel that, but then you're also just, you can't even silence those feelings and allow a space of like, wow, I'm so happy this happened for you. Like, you really wanted that, and I'm so happy for you. Like, I feel like some women don't even have that ability, or if they do, it comes across so not genuine that I'm like, can't you fucking fake it? Like, can't you pretend, you know? And I've seen this happen in so many, you know, directly and indirectly, and it makes me really sad, because I feel
happiness, like
I do too,
genuine, but happiness when I see somebody like accomplished a goal or whatever. Like, one of my best friends that actually lives here in Miami, she's always wanted to be a mother. Like, since we were in high school. Like, I remember, like, we met when we were 15 and she was like, I want to be a mom. And I was like, I don't want to have kids. And we laughed. And she gave birth in December and she calls me via FaceTime and I just sob. I start crying, but hysterically. And she's like, why are you crying? Stop crying. And I'm like, I couldn't stop crying because the amount of joy that I felt in that precise moment. I was just like, I literally had to like stop the conversation. And I'm like, I need you to listen to me for 1 second. I'm like, this was your dream.
Yeah.
And to see you.
But you're wired differently.
Living that like, dream makes me beyond happy. Like, I can't even put into words what I was feeling in that moment.
But your heart is like gold. Like, that's why, like.
But I've learned, you know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that. When something good happens to someone that I don't feel is a good person.
Really?
I'm not happy. I'm not mad about that. But I'm like, I'm not happy for you. You're not a good person. You did this. You did X, Y, and Z to this other person, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't deserve that.
I remember one day in middle school. I don't know what it was. But actually, I do remember what it was. You know when razors were a thing? The Motorola razor, the cell phone?
I thought you were going to say like Gillette.
Shaving? Yeah. No, I'm aging myself so bad right now, but when razors were a thing.
I had a Pebble.
Okay.
Was it pink?
Would have cut off my arm to get a razor. I wanted one so bad. And one of my friends got one. And I went home and I told my mom, I was like, oh my God. She got the razor and I want it so bad. And my tone was very negative. Like, it wasn't, you know, and she was like, hold on. She was like, she literally put me a check so fucking fast. And I will never forget this conversation. I swear it like flipped a switch in my brain. And she was like, so she was happy with her phone, right? And I was like, yeah, she was so happy. Like, she was showing it to everybody. Like, I was so,
so annoyed.
She was like, she was excited about it because she really wanted it and she got it, right?
Of course.
And I was like, of course, Queen Maria.
See, right? I'm like.
And I was like, yeah, I get. And she was like, so if you got a razor, which you want, and if you showed up at school, wouldn't you want people to be happy that you got something that made you happy? And I was like, okay, first of all.
This conversation.
I was like, you don't have to yell. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I'm not even talking about the phone anymore. But she was like, please remember that somebody getting something that they want has nothing to do with you. Like, her getting this phone has nothing to do with you. You should be so happy. In Spanish, but she was like, que dicha. Like, she's so happy. That's so good. Like, you want the phone? Maybe you'll get it. I don't know. But that has nothing to do with you.
But that goes back to what you were saying. There are I'm 100% sure Motorola can make and sell 1,000 trillion razors if they want. Like, there's enough razors in the world for you to have one.
No, totally. But my point is, like, that conversation flipped something and I was like, fuck, I like was looking at this the entirely the wrong way. After that, I never, thank God, like, I'm not saying I've never had jealous feelings because I am not a robot. I am a human being. But honestly, I thank God that, like,
it changed your mindset.
When something good happens to somebody, whether I know them or not, especially if I know them, because then I really feel it on a different level.
Even if they're, like,
I'm
evil, like, but, bad, like,
but, like, how would I know? Person. How would I know what happened? Like, I don't keep up with evil people. You know what I mean? Like, give me an example. Like, Trump winning the lottery? Like,
no. Yeah. Yes and no.
You mean like somebody I know, I find out that like something good, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, we'll have this conversation later.
It gives me more indifference than anything. I'm more just like, oh.
But you do have a point. And I was having this conversation the other day with someone. I went to this like influencer event, which are always hard for me just because I'm not competitive. And I feel like influencers are super competitive. Same. They're like, don't give her the contact. No. Oh my gosh, she can't have the lipstick.
Yeah.
People are extremely competitive and I'm really not like that.
You can have my lipstick.
Thank you. This girl, I was eavesdropping.
Eavesdropping.
Yeah. And these two girls were having this conversation, and they were like, no, I don't want to give her the PR contact because then she's going to start working with them.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I was like...
That makes me so angry.
Yeah.
That mindset. Like,
have you ever been... And this is like an honest question to whoever is listening to this. Have you ever been on Instagram and all of a sudden you find a profile that you love and you're like, oh my God, this is cool, so cool. And then you're like, no, I can't follow them because I already follow somebody who talks about, I don't know, fashion. No, because I'm 100% sure that those two profiles are 100% completely different. Like, you're not gonna, you aren't going to... how can I phrase this?
I think what you're trying to say is like...
people are like that?
What you're trying to say is like there's more than enough room for everyone to have a place.
100%. But what I mean is like, I don't know. Are people like... Is this a thing? Are you like, I can't follow more than 900 people on Instagram?
Sure there's some fucking fool out there who thinks that way. And I know there's people out there who are like, no, I'm not going to share this because I'm not going to share this contact because I've... heard people think this way and say these things, and I'm just like, bro,
that happens all the time.
Are you good? Like, that mindset to me is so little. Like, it's a little mindset, because if you realize that everything goes around and every good deed that you do, even if you don't see, even if you don't see anything back ever, it doesn't matter. You're doing something good, period. That's where it ends. But people always take it the extra mile, like, well, what am I getting in return? Mm-hmm. Or what are they going to get if I do this? That's none of your business. Do something good because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Okay,
we have to wrap up.
I agree with you. But then it goes back to the point of, like,
but not everybody's being like super that.
Competitive and thinking that there's not enough.
That's what I'm saying.
There's not enough Motorola racers in the world. There's
Lisa not did not enough. Think there was enough. And I did get a razor. It you wasn't did? Pink. Yeah, it wasn't pink.
You got a black one.
No, it was silver.
Oh, yeah. Sorry for you. I'm so sorry for you.
Okay, Bao. It's time for our dinner reservation. But thank you for
having me.
Coming back to Unwinding. I loved having you.
I love being here.
I love you so much.
I love you too. And I love Maria. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope
Maria's listening to this. Or more than me. But I feel like she's been a huge inspiration for both of us. Well, of course, she's your mother, but...
She loves Bao. Oh, my God.
But I feel like every time you tell me a story or, like, you share something, like, a random fact about her, somehow there's always, like, a small lesson.
Yeah. She truly is a queen. Maybe we'll call this episode We Love Queen Maria.
We do love her.
Okay, we gotta go have dinner. I'm so excited.